ever since then. Every time we sing it, it's something that really speaks to me. It's a really good song. So, interesting story, okay? Whenever Pastor asked me to preach, this was about a month ago, okay? We were sitting in staff meeting. He said, Pastor Adam, I want you to preach on this day, this time. I'm like, okay, great. I already have something planned. I have something that I've been wanting to preach for like 2 months now. Something that I thought was going to be really awesome, that was going to be great. This is actually the sermon right here. Well, last night, I'm laying in bed, and it was about 1 o'clock, okay? And all of a sudden, I have another sermon idea come to my mind. And I'm laying there, and I'm like, I already have something planned. I already know exactly what I'm going to say. I already have it planned out. And God kept working on me, okay? I did not go to sleep until 3 o'clock last night, okay? I was laying there fighting with God, saying, Lord, you know I've already planned out this message. You know I already have something worked out. You know I already know what I'm going to say. Why are you telling me this at 1 o'clock at night? Why not last week? Why not a month ago? Like, I already have everything planned. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is something that God laid on my heart last night at 1 o'clock in the morning, okay? So let's turn to Jonah chapter 1. If there's anything wrong with the sermon, you can take it up with him, because it's his fault. I just want to thank Pastor Rick publicly from the pulpit for allowing me to be able to come and to use his pulpit to be able to speak. It's an honor to be able to be a second man to him and to be able to serve under his leadership. So you can tell him I said that. Jonah chapter 1. I'll give everyone a second to get there. Jonah is one of the books. Anytime I preach out of Jonah, I always mark it beforehand because I can never, ever find it. I always mark it because I don't want to get up in front of everyone and not be able to find it in a timely manner. So I'm going to start reading, okay? Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish, it says that word so many times, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the city, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not us innocent blood, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So a little bit of backstory. Jonah was commanded to go unto the city of Nineveh to preach to the people there. And the Ninevites hated Jonah, okay? They hated his people. They wanted nothing to do with him. They had tortured them for many years. They were a nuisance to them. And Jonah wanted nothing to do with going to the Ninevites, okay? So Jonah goes, he gets on this ship. God causes a big storm to stir up. And eventually, they find out that the reason that the storm is happening is because of Jonah. Well, Jonah says, hey, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to take me. You're going to have to throw me out of the boat, and everything will be fine. Well, whenever he told them that, I'm sure that those men on the ship were alarmed. They said, hey, let us try something else, okay? Let us row as hard as we can. Let us see if maybe we can bring the ship back to where it needs to be. But eventually, what they had to do was throw Jonah out of the boat. So normally I would give you what my title is. I don't have a title because this just came to my mind last night. But what I want to talk to you about today is what are the things that we are not throwing out of our lives, okay? Let's focus on verse 5. It says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So this big storm brews up. Everyone on the ship is going crazy. And immediately their first instinct is, hey, we're going to sink if we don't start throwing everything off the ship. Let's get the tackle off. Let's get this off. Let's get that off. Let's get all the cargo off. We need to start throwing things off of the ship into the ocean so that way we can live, or else our boat is going to sink. And a lot of times in life, we come upon circumstances, okay? And the first thing that we do is we start throwing stuff off. But just like these men here in this story about Jonah, they were throwing the wrong things out of their lives. A lot of times in our lives, we come upon circumstances and we say, hey, you know what? I need to cut something out. And most of the time, the first thing that we're quick to cut is God. We take God and we say, hey, Lord, you know I'm busy. You know I have this going on in my life. And you know that I don't really have that much time. So I'm going to slash this and I'm going to slash that. And the last things that we start to focus on are the things that actually don't really matter. The last things that we focus on are things that kind of pertain to us. They didn't want to throw Jonah off because they didn't feel that would be right. But that was exactly the thing that they needed to get out of their lives. So I'm going to talk to you about this with two sides, okay? First, I know that they talk about this a lot in Baptist churches, but our finances, okay? Finances. Whenever we come through a tough time in our lives, even myself, okay, I've done it multiple times. I come upon something and I say, oh man, I was not expecting this bill this month. And what is the first thing I go after? My tithe. I say, hey, it's 10%. And God will understand, right? He knows. He knows that I'm struggling, and he knows that I need to take my tithe, and I need to allot it in other areas. And that's the exact wrong thing for us to toss out, okay? Whenever financial troubles come, the first thing that we shouldn't ditch is our tithe. The first thing we should ditch is our Netflix bill, okay? I have Netflix. I have Pandora. I have a bunch of different subscriptions. I have Xbox. I have all of that, okay? And I'm guilty of it as well. The first thing that we don't cut is the things that matter to us. We immediately go to God and say, well, he'll understand. He knows that I have to do this because I need to be able to pay these bills. And I know that times get really tough, but God's commanded us to give our tithe. And whenever we take 10% of what he's blessed us with financially, that pales in comparison to what he's given us. And so often, that's the very first thing that we get rid of. Or we look and we say, man, you know what, I know that I committed to give this or I committed to give that, and you know what, I just can't really give this right now. There's been times where I've been sitting in the car, and especially back in Texas, okay, whenever you go to the gas station, there's always someone that's homeless there. And they'll come up to you, and I felt God tell me, Adam, give that person money. And I start saying, well, Lord, come on. You know I have this. You know I have that. You know I have bills. You know I have things I have to maintain. I have a wife, this and that. And he says, I want you to give him money. So I'll pull out my wallet, okay, and I look, and there's a 20. And I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go into the store and break this because that guy does not need 20 bucks. And he says, no, he needs 20 bucks. And we say, well, Lord, come on. You know I can't give that. You know that's $20. Like, that's a lot of money. That can go a long ways. Let me put it towards something that's more useful. And a lot of times we wrestle with God, okay? There's been times where I have given the money, but more times than not, there's been times where I said, you know what? I'm keeping that for myself, Lord. I need to make chicken or something. And we put aside the things that matter, okay? We put aside the things that are really important in our life, helping others, okay? Giving to the church, giving our tithes, the least that God asks for us. And we cast those things to the side to be able to do other things, okay? And sacrificing in our lives is one of the hardest things that we'll ever do because everyone has things they like to do, right? I like cars, okay? You have all seen my yellow car out there with the black stripe. I love my car. I want to make my car go faster, and I want to make my car louder, okay? And sometimes God, he'll say, Adam, I know that you have some money for your car, but you know that there's this project going on at church, and I want you to give to that. And I say, Lord, okay, you know I need a new tune so I can go faster. You know I need a new exhaust, and you know I need all of these things. And I say, just someone else will take care of that, okay? Some people, they give a lot of money. They'll take care of my portion. But that's not the case. Whenever God impacts us about something, he wants us to give that. Whenever he lays something upon our heart, he wants us to listen to his call. But more times than not, especially in my own life, we reject his call and we say, Lord, you know what? I can do this. I can just give a little bit. I can cast out the wrong things. Whenever he's wanting us to give us his all or our all, he's wanting us to give him everything that we have. Now, I'm not saying write your entire check to the church, but I'm saying that he wants us to be able to commit to him. And a lot of times, the first thing that we cut in our lives are things that actually don't matter, okay? We cut out everything, and we say, I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that because I have these things going on in my life, and it's really easy to fall into that trap. The second thing we're going to talk about is our time. Everyone in here has 24 hours a day, okay? And a lot of times in our lives, we get busy. Everyone in here is busy, I'm sure. Everyone has a busy schedule. But it seems like also with our time, the very first thing that we cut is our Bible reading, is our prayer time. I've been there, okay? It happens to me a lot. I don't like the initial part of going to sleep, but once I'm asleep, I like to stay asleep as long as I can, okay? So I'll set my alarm for the last second, and then I'll keep hitting snooze. So that way I can sleep as long as I possibly can. Well, by the time I wake up, I don't have the adequate amount of time to read my Bible. I don't have the adequate amount of time to pray. So I get up and I just do whatever I'm going to do, and I kind of push God on the backside, okay? I push him on the back burner and say, that can wait till later. Well, eventually, I come to work, I do my thing, all that stuff. I go home, and by the end of the day, I've totally forgot about God. And I've taken care of everything that I wanted to do in my life, but not taking care of what he wanted for me. And prayer and Bible reading is something that is so easy to neglect. It is something that is so easy for us to just kind of push it off and say, hey, he knows I love him. And God knows that we love him, okay? He has absolute knowledge and he knows that we care for him. But our prayer and our Bible reading is something that is going to be paramount in our Christian life. We can't have the right Christian walk and never read our Bible. That's our way how he communicates with us. We can't have the right Christian walk and never pray to him. That's the way that we speak to him and also that he can speak back to us. But so often, that's the thing that gets cut out of our lives, okay? We say, man, I have this new routine. I've tried before going to the gym, okay? And like I said, I'm not one for getting up early. But I've tried going to the gym early in the morning. So I get up and I say, you know what, I have to be up at this time so I can go to the gym so that I can take care of these things. Well, I forgot about God the entire time. Even if we spend 5-10 minutes just in our Bible when we first wake up, okay, just to get a little dose of God, that's better than nothing. But so often we push it to the side and say, you know what, I got things to do. I have people to see. I have things that I have to take care of today, and God can wait. And eventually it becomes not just one day, but 2 days, and then 3 days, and then 4 days. In my own life, okay, it's happened where I don't read my Bible one day, and then I look, I'm like, wait, I haven't read my Bible in a week. I haven't been spending the right amount of time with God. And it happens to each and every one of us, okay? That's why we have to try to keep God first in our lives. We have to try to make him paramount because he is always there for us and he wants us to be there for him. Also, whenever it comes to our time, okay, one of the other things that we cut out is church. People have heard him say all the time, well, I work Monday through Friday and on Saturday and Sunday, I don't want to do anything. I understand that, okay? And I was talking to Haley about this morning because I just came up with a sermon last night. But I was talking to Haley about this morning, okay? And I was saying whenever I was in college, I would hear preachers say, hey, you need to make time for God, you need to make time for church, and you just need to do it. And I would always think, hey, come on, dude, you work for a church. That's what you do. That's your life. You have to go to church. You have to read your Bible. You have to do those things. And whenever I was in college, I was taking like 18 credit hours, married to Haley, I had a full-time job, all these things I was trying to balance on top of church. And a lot of times I would say, you know what, hey, I know that we have Wednesday night service and I'm going to go, but I'm going to be 45 minutes late because that's just what I want to do. I could have been there on time, but I decided, you know what, God can have half of my time. There were some nights I just wouldn't even go because I thought I was too busy. Could I have made time for church? Yes. I could have rearranged my schedule. There were things I could have done. But I said, Lord, come on. You know I'm a busy man. You know I'm trying to work 40 hours a week. You know that I'm trying to get my degree. You know that I have a wife. I only have so many hours in the day. But God still wanted me to give him what was his, okay? He wanted me to work on my Christian life. He wanted me to go to church and be around other believers. And looking back on it now, I see why those preachers said that, okay? And we want everyone to be able to get God. And I get it. We can get God at home. And we can read our Bibles at home, and we can study at home, we can listen to sermons at home. But there's just something awesome about coming to church and being around other people of like faith. There's something that really builds your spirit up whenever you think, hey, everyone in this room is a Christian. Everyone in this room, I hope, is saved. And everyone in this room has a like mind like me. Whenever we go into the youth group, okay, I love hanging out in there because we have a bunch of kids who are all going through different struggles in life, but they all have the same mindset about God first. And it makes me happy whenever I hear them say, sometimes they'll say, hey, Adam, I rearranged my schedule so that way I could come to youth. I did this so that way I can make it to the activity. And that warms my heart because they're understanding it. They're getting that church is more than just coming and sitting in a pew and singing a couple songs and listen to the guy up there talk and then go home. Church is about relationships. Church is about community. And whenever we realize that, whenever we get that into our hearts, whenever we get that into our minds, we understand that, hey, I do need to be there Wednesday night. I do need to be there Sunday night. I do need to be there Sunday morning. And whenever we take all the hours of church, okay, I don't know how long each service lasts, maybe 2 or 3 hours each time. That's about 9 hours. How many hours in a week? I didn't calculate this. Does anyone like know off the top of their head? Probably not. Okay, there's a lot of hours in the week, okay? So us giving God 9 hours, that's not even half a day out of our entire week to be able to come, to be able to worship with other believers. Whenever we think about it that way, it's not really that much. But a lot of times we say, Lord, come on, I'm busy. I have this, I have that. I have 14 projects due at work the next day, and there's so many things that I need done. But the thing that we decide we want to toss out is church. Rather than restructuring our schedule and saying, hey, what are little things that I can fix? What are little things that I can do in my life? I am a procrastinator by nature, okay? I have procrastinated probably since I was born. I probably procrastinated being born. But I procrastinated my whole life. And one thing that I am still learning is how to manage my time. Because I would much rather go home, play video games, and sit on the couch and hang out with Kennedy and my wife than do other things. And whenever it comes down to it, I eventually say, man, I didn't have any time this week. Is that true? No, that's not true. I had plenty of time during the week. But my thing was that I didn't prioritize it right. I didn't set it up to where I could accomplish everything. And eventually the things that I cast out of my life were things that I just didn't really want to do. So whenever it comes down to it, whenever we align our time, we need to make sure, hey, am I giving God what is his? And God doesn't command us to go to church every day, okay? He doesn't even command us to go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That is just something, a schedule that man came up with. But he does tell us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. He does want us to be around other believers. He does want us to be able to worship with others. And that is something that I highly encourage you not to cast off. Just like these men, they were throwing the wrong things out of their lives, okay? They said, the ship's going to sink. We need to start throwing everything out. Let's throw out the cargo. Let's throw out the tackle. Let's throw out everything that we can possibly think of. Whenever the thing that needed to be thrown out of their lives was sitting right there in front of them, and it was Jonah. And a lot of times in life, we do the same exact thing, okay? We say, man, what can I throw out of my life? What do I need to pick? What do I need to choose? Okay, I can cut down my Bible reading time. I can cut down my prayer time. I can cut down the days that I go to church. And eventually, we're casting all that stuff out, and God's sitting there, and he's watching, and he's saying, hey, those aren't the right things to be casting out. That's not what I'm trying to get you to learn. That's not what I want you to cast out. There's other things in life that we could prioritize. There's other things in life that we can say, hey, maybe I can X this out and add this in, or maybe I can just shorten this a little bit to be able to maximize my time to be able to serve God. So I want to encourage you today to, with our finances, okay, to be able to say, hey, what am I casting out of my life? Am I casting my tithe out? Am I casting what I give to the church out rather than maybe restructuring and looking at all the different subscriptions I have, or restructuring and saying, hey, what can I maybe do? I eat a lot of fast food, okay? I just do. And I'm sure if I went and looked at all my receipts, I know, that's what my mom says too. If I went and looked at all my receipts, I would probably be highly disappointed. I could probably give a lot more to what God wanted me to give to if I just simply cut out fast food. But that's my thing. That's something I have to work on. And each and every one of us, we know what it is in our lives to where we say, hey, I wish I could help other people out. I wish that I could bless someone else financially. I wish that I could give to this project or that project, but I just don't have any money, Lord. But then whenever we look at it and we look at the things we're actually spending our money on, maybe we could say, hey, you know what? Maybe I won't go out to eat this day so that way I can help out in this area. Or maybe I'll cut back in this area so that way I can help out in this area. And like I said, we all have our hobbies. We all have our things that we want to do. None of that is wrong. But making sure that it doesn't take priority over God is the key thing. And then, like I said, with our time, everyone has 24 hours in the day. We all have the same amount of time. But it's how we prioritize it is what matters, okay? If I don't schedule my day out, chances are God's going to get X'd out somewhere along the way. If I don't intentionally decide that I'm going to go to church on a certain day, then you know what? That day is going to come and I'm going to say, man, I'm just too busy. I can't go that day. We have to intentionally decide, hey, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I am going to do the things that God wants me to do. I am going to get up and read my Bible or read your Bible at night, at least sometime during the day. I am going to spend time with God in prayer. Because if we don't intentionally decide to do that, it's just going to float along the wayside, okay? It's just going to go down the river. And each and every one of us, we need to persevere to do that. We need to make sure that we make the personal mindset that, hey, I'm going to give God what is his, and I'm not going to cast the wrong things out. Whenever something big comes up, whenever there's a storm in my life, just like these fishermen were going through, the first thing I'm not going to cast out is God. The first thing I'm not going to cast out is my Bible reading. And that's what we should try to do. We should try to be able to say, hey, the things that I am going to cast out are things that probably should be cast out. So I just want to ask you, what is the Jonah in your life? I have to ask myself, okay, last night when I thought about this message, I got convicted. And that was one of the reasons why I kind of didn't want to teach it, was because I was like, hey, God, that's kind of pointed right at me too. There's things in my life that I know I haven't cast the Jonah out. I keep kind of tossing things here and there, but what is the Jonah in my life? So I ask it for each and every one of you. What is the Jonah in your life? What is the thing that you know that, hey, I could cast this out and that storm will stop. I can cast this out so that way I have more time. I can cast this out so that way I have more money. So as you go throughout your week, think about that. Just think about what is the Jonah in my life. So everyone bow your heads, close your eyes, and we'll have an invitation. Father, I thank you for this day. I ask that you would just bless what I've said, Lord. I ask that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, including myself, to take this and to apply it to our hearts, Lord, to apply it to our lives, because, Lord, the things that we cast out of our life, they shouldn't be the things that matter to you, Lord. They should be the opposite of that, Lord. They should be things that we know that aren't right in our lives. There should be things to be able to help us maximize our time, Lord, to be able to maximize our money for you, and to be able to honor you the best way. So I ask that you would just open up each and every one of our hearts, Lord. Help us to just to think about this and to know, Lord, that you have our best interest in mind. Help us to find that Jonah, whatever it is in our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. So if you go ahead and stand with me, Ron's going to do a couple verses of invitation if anyone wants to come down and pray. And then after that, we'll be done.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Lord, I thank you for this day again. Lord, I ask that you would just help, once again, the words, Lord, just to sink in and help us to think about these things. Help us try to keep you first in our lives, Lord. And help us as we just set our priorities. Help us to honor and glorify you with everything that we do, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. One more side note. One thing that I forgot to say during my sermon. I was thinking this morning. In my office, I have a little plaque thing that I got my senior year for Athlete of the Year, okay? You can see it did me a lot of good, but Athlete of the Year, okay? That year, our team won the football championship. We won the basketball championship. I was MVP of the basketball tournament, and I got Athlete of the Year. And I was thinking this morning, all of that stuff doesn't really matter now, okay? Being Athlete of the Year, it has done me no good in my life, except for now I can beat the teens in basketball and stuff. But other than that, it has done me no good, okay? And a lot of times in life, we strive and we say, hey, I want this, I want that, I want to make all these great achievements in my life. And we, like I talked about, we put God on the back burner. And we strive for these things and say, well, I know what, if I have this, I'll be the greatest. If I have this, then I'll have achieved something. And at the end of our lives, all that stuff is not going to really matter, okay? Whenever I was at the funeral yesterday, they didn't bring up any great achievements that Kim's mom had done. They remembered her for who she was. They remembered her for how she had loved them. And it's the same thing for each and every one of us, okay? So like I said, those trophies and stuff, they've done me no good. So whenever we strive for things, it's good to have earthly achievements and stuff, but let's make sure that we're doing more things for God, because that's actually the stuff that's going to count. That's the stuff that's actually going to matter in the long run. So I just wanted to say that. We have a bunch of announcements. First off, let me read this from my phone. Tony Oliverio passed away, I think it was Friday or Thursday. I'm not sure. But there's going to be a visitation today out at L.J. Griffin Funeral Home from 1 to 4. I'm pretty sure most of y'all know where that is at. So if you want to stop by there, be more than welcome. I know that pastor's not here, so I'm going to make a trip there afterwards. But I'm sure that the family would love to be able to see some of y'all and just give them a little bit of comfort as they go throughout this tough time in their life. Also, Team World Vision, the people from Team World Vision, if you want to go ahead and come up here, I know that pastor had talked about last week us praying over you. So if you want to go ahead and come down. Cool. Yeah, if y'all want to, you can come up here if you want. Do you want to give a little insight as to everything?
Okay. I just want to give an update.
Do you want to?
Here. Thank you. Perfect. Good morning, everyone. Your message today spoke to the team that we have up here. Number one, we were all obedient to the call that God has placed on us to run first half marathons, first full marathons. Number two, we sacrificed time and money to prepare ourselves and our bodies for this race. We sacrificed time by asking for donations, and the impact that the six of us have made, it's incredible to me, is $11,325, which impacts 227 children for life, receive clean water for life, and also four children were sponsored by this team. So the total is 231 lives were changed because six people said yes to God's call upon their life to run and train. So to God be the glory. And this is just the beginning. I can't wait to see what God does with and through each and every one of us in the next week. Our numbers, this number will change because the most money usually comes in during our last week, because we're going to be out there telling our why we do this is because we believe that each child deserves hope and clean water, and that's why we do what we do. So I've been blessed to lead you all, and it's just been an incredible season, and I'm just so grateful.
Cool. Well, I'll go ahead and pray for y'all, okay? Yeah, I can give him a hand. Lord, we thank you for this day, and I ask that you would just be with Team World Vision, Lord. I ask that you would be with them as they continue to train for this marathon coming up. I ask that you would just give them the strength, Lord, and the endurance to be able to complete that. Lord, we know that they're doing this thing for a great cause, so I ask that you would just bless their endeavors and just help them as they continue working. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
No problem. So I'm pretty sure that is all of my announcements. So, Paul, you want to go and make your announcements?
All right, just giving a reminder one more time with the Fall Festival. Dave, if I forget anything, you let me know, buddy. All right, Dave's been a big help over here. Again, this Saturday from 1 to 4. Volunteers, we can still use a few more volunteers. Sign-up sheets are at the Welcome Center. For all the people that signed up, we're going to ask that you be here by 12 o'clock Saturday. That gives us enough time to get a few things done. But I do need to see if I can get a few gentlemen that have signed up to see if they can get together and come around 9 o'clock. Because what we want to do is we need to set up tents. We do have a lot of tents, canopies. So I do need the men that signed up to see if they'll be willing to come and help us set up set those up. So please get with me after the service here today. We're going to, if you brought your tent or brought your canopy today, please take it to the back of the library. We'll be back there again. So if everybody who actually has volunteered, just meet us back in the library. It won't take very long. We kind of want to just get a heads up what's going on and kind of tell you how this is going to run. We still are collecting candy. We have a lot of people that have sent candy in, but we still need more. Pumpkins, if you have any pumpkins, right now we only got 3 or 4 pumpkins. If we could get people to bring in more pumpkins, that would be great. The other thing is the flyers are still out there. There's still time to send out flyers to friends, family, and relatives, neighbors. So let's just make sure we get that out there. Another thing is just pray for the good weather and a great turnout. And also pray that that if there's anybody there that comes that need to know about Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll hear the gospel, because that's our main focus. Yes, it's there to have fun for the kids and to have an outreach program with the community, but the ultimate goal is just to teach people about Christ. So, again, thank you.
Cool. Thanks, Paul. So, 2 more announcements, okay? I made an announcement about Awana probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I still need at least 2 more workers to help out with that. So if you feel God leading you in that direction, or if you've been thinking about it since the last time that I talked to you about helping with Awana, just come to me and let me know, because, like I said, we need 2 more people for it to be able to run efficiently. And if more people want to volunteer, then that is excellent. And the last announcement, there is a video for Operation Christmas Child. Bunny is out of town today, so they said that Polly was going to be coming up here and doing the announcement for Operation Christmas Child. So, and I'm pretty sure they also have a video. So, okay, yeah, show the video first, I guess.
It all goes great with a glass of milk. Packing an Operation Christmas Child jukebox. Okay, let's be honest. Packing an Operation Christmas Child jukebox can go great with anything. It's so that other kids can learn about Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, and it's also a great way to teach your own kids about giving.
Teach your kids about giving.
Have a great day. Oh, and don't forget, make good choices. So basically, you get an empty box, which any box will work. Really? Okay, not any box. Much better. Okay, so now you have your empty box. Now you can pick the age range, and if you want it to be for a boy or a girl. Okay, come on. Please be a boy. Please be a boy. Well, looks like we're going to be packing for a boy this year. First, you can choose a wow item, such as a soccer ball or a stuffed animal. And you can choose other fun toys, too. Hygiene items. Oh, and school supplies. There are, of course, some items you cannot pack, like liquids, food, items related to war, live animals, about packing chocolate because it melts. When your gift is finished, you can write a letter and include a photo. It gives it a nice personal touch. When your box is done, you can make your $7 shipping donation online through Follow Your Box. Simply print off your tracking label to see where the destination of your gift will be. And don't forget, it's important to pray for the child that is receiving this gift, because packing a box is a simple way to share the gospel with kids all around the world. Maybe even in Africa. Now that your box is done, it's time to get moving. Transport your box to a nearby drop-off location near you. These will be opened all across the U.S. on National Collection Week, the third week in November. Drop it off and voila, you pack the shoebox. Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Good morning, everyone. Excuse me for wearing pants. I was working in the parking lot. I was raised, you don't get up here in pants. All right. I have fell in love with this project, this moment every year, because I know what it's like not to get something for Christmas. But my main thing here tonight is, and I want to show of hands, how many of y'all had a, can remember back when you had a great Christmas? Because I know I did. Come on, I know y'all had it. Come on, secretly, deep down inside, y'all got y'all Easy Bake Oven, your G.I. Joes. Come on, come on, your deck of cards. I don't know how many of y'all got them Rubik's Cubes. I still got mine. But the point being is, we had good Christmases. We had good ones. I did, too. I found out there's no Santa Claus because my dad fell down the back stairs trying to bring the gifts from the garage. And we had to go out and help him pick them up out the snow. But the point being is, this is our chance to spread it. When you opened up that box on Christmas morning, I know I got a rush. I had goose pimples. I almost got lightheaded. I knew my grandmother sent me socks and shoes and pajamas that made me look like something from Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. But the point was, it was the anticipation of knowing that this person took time out to get me this gift. This person took time out to fill that box. It is not the stuff in the box. It's when you open that box. And y'all all know that feeling you get when you open that box on Christmas. Ooh-wee. And that is the feeling we want to transfer. We want to take your feeling, put it in that box. So when that child opened that box up, that child going to feel what you felt. And that's why this is important to me. This is what I enjoy most of all, is opening box. I'm 62 years old. Oh, I get goosebumps if you even mention Christmas. I love Christmas. I got a little Christmas tree on my mantelpiece hidden behind a picture, because to me, Christmas is not just a moment. It's forever. I mean, 365 days a year when I wake up, I'm like, whew, thank you. Merry Christmas. I woke up. So now this is a time for all of us here to let them feel what we felt. Because we're so used to, oh, I know I'm going to get something. I'm going to get something. But they can't do that. That's where we step in. That's where we could have them open that box up, and they can feel what you felt when you opened that box up and you got that G.I. Joe. You opened that box up and you got that Xbox. Whoa, I know. Come on. Some of y'all got Xbox out here. So this is what I want to do. This is what my whole heart is into doing. And I ask for you to open up your heart and let them feel what you did. Let them enjoy what you did, because they don't get this every day. We say to ourselves, Christmas coming. You hear people right now going, oh, man, Christmas coming. Great. I don't like the holidays. I don't like the holidays either. I love Christmas. There's a big difference between holidays and Christmas. And I love Christmas because I celebrate it 365, 24/7. And I asked you to take a moment, get a box, feel it. And if you ain't got time to feel it, drop the money off in an envelope and somebody will get it filled for you. But we want them to know that First Baptist Church of Canton, we spread the love of Christmas all over the world. Thank you.
Thanks, Polly. Okay, that was the last announcement, so you're dismissed. Thanks.